Jonathan Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us. Family and friends around the country, around the world, if you've got internet access. And the best way and fastest way to pull up the stream is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen Upper Left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and check out all the great stories and videos, some really good animal stories and videos and stuff, but also great information about wolf spiders and why you don't want to squish them. They eat all the stuff we don't want in our house. They eat brown recluse spiders. They eat cockroaches. They eat all kinds of bugs that we don't want in the house. So you want those little wolf, those big wolf spiders. And those are the ones that I have to water at my house because I got a bunch of them that live in Robbie's doghouse outside. And when it gets this hot, they're waiting. I was watering something and I dripped some on the top of Robbie's doghouse. And man, these huge wolf spiders came from everywhere, like whomp. And man, were they thirsty. So now I water my wolf spiders. And, you know, I was chuckling earlier today. I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. I'm now watering the slugs. You know, because I don't kill anything unless it's, you know, doing stuff they shouldn't do. And the rules are you can't eat my flowers. As long as you stay off my flowers, you can get anything else you want. And I'll take care of you. But if you get on my flowers, then I'm going to pitch you to Kingdom Come. Which I do, and they get the letter. It's like, okay, all right, unless we want to fly to the next county, we will stay off of Martha's flowers. But they, they're all thirsty right now. All righty then, it is, what is it? It's the fourth Sunday of a five-Sunday month. We're spending the extra Sunday with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. And we had another Love Train experience. Nothing to write home about in terms of the great dancing going on here. However, we had a new participant. She's never participated before, but she was in here bumping and rubbing on my legs and all of that. She wanted to Love Train, and that would be Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks, my tuxedo kitty. And she's my little feral-turned-domestic kitty. She's been with me three lifetimes in this life so far. First as an injured porcupine, second as a feral kitten, and third as another feral kitten. So she's been with me three times. And anyway, she did a pretty good job love training. Did you? And so Merritt and Beth, you got to see my Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks. Did you see her little white sweet cheeks? Beautiful. Yeah, she's a cutie pie. Anyway, she wanted to say hi. And we did love training. So anyway, looks like, I don't know, we didn't get any phone calls, so I don't think that we got anybody that's got questions about what's going on. I think we must have covered the bases well in what's going on in India right now. So I guess what is kind of, just to wrap up the whole India and the street dog things and the latest ruling, is that just kind of stand as it is right now until we see what happens, or what happens now?
I would expect that it will stand as it is until and unless there is some other kind of cataclysmic event. It's a reasonable ruling. Pretty much everybody likes it. Manika Gandhi likes it. Chinni Krishna likes it, to name two of the people who have been most instrumental in advancing the animal birth control program.
Okay.
Chinni, by the way, is the only rocket scientist in animal protection. He's
literally.
He's headed the Blue Cross of India since 1964 and introduced animal birth control in 1966. But what he does for a living, he's an engineer who's been instrumental in designing the Indian space telescopes and satellite arms and all that.
Wow. That's
a rocket scientist. He is a rocket scientist.
Well, so that's pretty good. So this latest ruling, as it sounds, it has seemed to cover the bases for everybody, and that most everybody's pleased with the ruling and what's going on. So it sounds like it, because I could just see when this all blew up and everybody's mad at each other, you know, on either side, it's like, why is everybody upset? You know, we all want the same thing. Just get on the same page and get together, because there's a way to work this out that everybody's happy. So it seems that we're finding that now.
There is one more thing I want to
Yeah.
mention. Cats were not originally included because India had very few cats
Oh
relative.
yeah, when we first started, talking to Eileen and about the animals, we never talked about cats. And then all of a sudden, the cats are involved. And then pretty soon, the TNR, and then they don't have any cat. That was our big thing. They didn't have any cat traps over there, so we had to donate money, and then they had to carry the cat traps over to India because they didn't have traps to trap them with.
But Jenny Krishna, who I just mentioned, has been a friend for around 35 years, and I've known Manika Gandhi for more than 30. And I mentioned them right at the very beginning that if you take dogs out of the equation, if you lower the number of dogs, cats will reoccupy the habitat formerly occupied by dogs at a ratio of roughly, this is just body weight to food availability, roughly three cats to one dog.
Holy moly.
And Chinny was pretty early to figure that out and start sterilizing cats as well as dogs in Chennai, which is the city where he lives. And finally, in 2023, the animal birth control rules were expanded to include cats in their animal birth control program because they have now realized that they've gone from being a nation with very few cats to a nation with a lot of cats. And they want to head the problems that we've had off at the pass if they can. Historically, India had lots of these small jungle cats or native cats, not domesticated at all, that would hunt around the edges of the city, fishing cats and so forth. But cats were not brought into the home, they were not domesticated, and there were relatively few of Felis domesticus. But it's gotten to the point now where they probably have about as many cats as dogs, which is also, by the way, the situation here, approximately equal numbers.
No, I'm wondering because, dogs and, there's lots of other animals in India. And don't they have a similar problem with monkeys, maybe? Going on? What can you tell us about? I mean, are there any kind of ABC program for monkeys?
The first problem is nobody's really figured out how to run an effective ABC program for monkeys.
That's what I wondered.
If you castrate the males, the other monkeys pick on them.
Oh, okay.
Vasectomize the males, which is very slow compared to the castration procedure. Monkeys are a lot harder to catch because what I always point out, a monkey can bite like a dog, it can climb like a cat. And it's smarter than most of the animal control personnel.
Yeah, okay, I would agree with all of that. There you go.
Historically, the street dogs would keep the macaques at bay in the cities, where you have dogs controlling the streets. You don't get the monkeys coming in, but or coming down from the trees. But as the numbers of dogs have come down, the monkeys have become more a problem. This is not only a problem in India. This is a problem throughout Southeast Asia. And even some parts of Latin America, where there they have the squirrel monkeys, they'll come right into people's houses through any kind of an open window. I've seen that in Costa Rica, for example. So
Wow.
up the road, we've got to figure out a really effective way of controlling the monkey populations. Now, historically, what was done was rounding up a lot of monkeys and selling them to U.S. biomedical research labs.
Yeah,
Well,
well, and
that's been illegal in India now since 1974, and it's also illegal in many other nations. And the U.S. doesn't want to be importing wild-caught monkeys because they can bring in diseases. They only want to bring in lab-bred monkeys. But there's a huge industry in trapping macaques and keeping them in a laboratory facility there for a few years and then selling them to the US labs as supposedly captive bred. This has become a huge scandal several times when it's been flushed out by PETA, among others.
Well, and isn't there's a push in this country? Aren't we trying to eliminate research on animals and that kind of stuff?
Well, the current administration has been trying to reduce the use of laboratory animals, but this is pretty recent. The current push has only been 6 months. In the past, there have been efforts made to reduce the numbers of certain species used, great decreases in the numbers of dogs and cats used, for example, but that's been offset by increases in the numbers of monkeys used.
Oh.
macaques. So the macaque problem is two-faced. On the one hand, we have to find an effective way to deal with the macaque problems throughout Southeast Asia, and on the other, figure out how to avoid using macaques in biomedical research here in the U.S. to
That
hold
makes sense.
them.
If I can interject, also, had they decided to go forward with taking the dogs off the streets, that would have caused a new problem. Monkeys and rats. They would have had
Oh
a.
yeah.
And the rat.
So there's a lot more to be considered than just what meets the eye in some of these cases.
The last major outbreak of bubonic plague in the world that affected an entire city was in Surat, India, in 1994, when the city government poisoned all the street dogs, which, by the way, was illegal, but they did anyway. And they have a rat temple there. They actually rats are actually part of the religious observance there, and the rats just went crazy, and the result was an outbreak of bubonic plague. Lots of people died. India was put off limits to tourism for a certain length of time. It crashed
Yeah,
the
and wasn't there, well, just yesterday, I think there was an article in the news that there was a case of bubonic plague here.
yes, there are.
And isn't it you have to be bitten by a flea that's carrying the bubonic plague?
Bacterium,
And
exactly.
that's where rats came in related to that is because they can have fleas.
Right.
But it's the flea that carries it, right?
The U.S. it usually comes from ground squirrels who get the fleas from the rats. It's an introduced disease. It arrived with rats on ships in the middle of the 19th century and spread to ground squirrels. And there have been reservoirs in Southern California, Colorado, a couple other places, and they're always around these places that in the late 19th century were centers for gold mining. And the 49ers and other immigrant gold miners brought the fleas with them, and it spread to the ground squirrels, and it stayed within the ground squirrel population, in some cases the prairie dogs, mostly ground squirrels.
Is there any reason for concern in this country?
It's pretty well controlled, and if somebody develops symptoms and they detect it early, antibiotics will treat it. It's similar to leptospirosis, which Beth had a couple
Uh-huh.
months ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So if you develop it and it's detected, it can be treated successfully with antibiotics. People can recover. They don't have to develop the buboes that disform their faces. All those kinds of things. I wouldn't say it's something to be in a panic about, but it's certainly something to be aware of. Like you have to be aware of hantavirus, for example, when you're working in
Right.
a closed space where rats have been.
Yep, so there is stuff. My goodness. All right. Looking at the clock. Let's take care of advertisers so we stay on schedule for this hour. Then when we continue with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org, we'll find out what's next on the world of animals news that we need to be talking about. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues. More animals, 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 straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? You running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Alternative Talk 1150, online at 1150kknw.com.
Good. Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're approaching midway through the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, we heard from our NuproSupplements.com. Remember, it's N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, NuproSupplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets, and you can check them all out on the NuPro website. You can order there. A lot, especially the dog supplements, you'll often find in your pet store, but if not, they're also available on Amazon. And then if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. And you can shoot us an email at animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And remember, Natasha Venter, our medium communicator, general psychic gal, and for personal readings, you can check her out at intuitiveclarifications.com, intuitiveclarifications.com online. Her YouTube channel is Natasha Venter, the letters I and C for Intuitive Clarification, Natasha Venter IC, and that's where you'll find a collection of all of her podcasts. She does a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. You'll find it there on the YouTube channel. And a lot of archived stuff as well. And if you would like to schedule a private reading with Natasha, you can do that online at intuitiveclarifications.com, or you can just give her a call, 360-770-7486, 360-770-7486. All righty then. We are in the middle of conversation with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. If you haven't been to the website, donate to the cause and sign up for the newsletter, and then you'll be informed about all of this stuff. But hey, Merritt and Beth, what else is going on in the world of animals that we need to talk about?
I'd like to mention that we lost a lady, Christine Townend, this last week. She's been a real bright light for animal rights and animal welfare around the world, but especially in Australia and India over the last 60 years or so. She was a student of a fellow named Peter Singer, who wrote a book called Animal Liberation, came out in 1975. It was credited with more or less launching the modern animal rights movement. She was already at that time a fairly well-known novelist and poet and short story writer in Australia. But she became inspired to start the organization that was then called Animal Liberation. It's now called Animal Australia. And it was only the second group in the world that was dedicated to an animal rights philosophy, as opposed to preceding that, animal welfare. And it became the largest and most influential organization for animals in Australia, other than the Royal SPCA.
Wow. Beyond
that, though, she then did a major investigation of the Australian sheep trade, published it in a book called Pulling the Wool. That's how I became acquainted with her. I reviewed the book. And as an investigative reporter myself, who had worked on some related topics, I recognized the quality of the work there. for a poet and a short story writer and a novelist and an activist.
And an artist.
Well, she became an artist later in life, but to switch hats and do very fact-based, thorough investigative reporting is not an easy feat, but she did. And then she turned about and went to India and for 21 years ran a humane organization called Help in Suffering, where she started the biggest programs in the entire nation to help working elephants and working camels. So that's a shift in species. And eventually she retired from that, went back to Australia, took up painting with some success, and wrote some more books. She was a very warm, friendly person. And although she had been suffering from Parkinson's disease in recent years, had to slow down quite a lot, she did stay as involved as her health would allow her to, pretty much right up to the end.
Eileen, and remind us, what was her name again?
Christine Townend.
Christine Townend. Okay, and she passed recently, right?
She died this past week.
Okay, all right. Well, so we can say some prayers and thank her for her service to the animals for, sounds like, decades and decades.
Eileen knew her, too, I would mention. It was Eileen that informed us, actually, of her death.
Ah, that she had passed. All right, all right. Well, bless her heart and for all the great work for the animals. Certainly more that needs to be done. So what else is on our list?
Horses.
Horses.
This is the national celebration of the Tennessee Walking Horse, which is actually a national celebration of atrocities done to walking horses in the name of getting them to adopt the big lick. For those who don't know what the big lick is, it's basically making the horses goose step, lift the front legs unnaturally high, lower the rear body so they look like a malformed German shepherd.
And that's, we're talking the walking horses, that's what they do. Like, don't they usually have a cart behind them or something?
No.
Or is it just there? Are they just have a rider?
Just a rider, and they ride around the ring.
Don't they do some? Don't they cut their tails or something too?
Oh yes, they cut their tails.
Yeah,
and use a tail brace to make the tail stand up. Well, a horse's tail is designed to hang down.
Right.
So they do not have anything that's more artificial. So. Another person that we lost a couple of years ago, Clance Say, was a former walking horse exhibitor who realized this stuff was bad. He formed the Citizens Committee Against Big Lick Animal Abuse, and during the last 7 years of his life, followed the Big Lick shows right around the South, which is where they're concentrated, picketed at everyone, and got a lot of other people involved. So even though Clant was a victim of COVID-19, the momentum he started is being carried on by a family called Priestner. The last name is Priestner. Tawny Priestner, the wife and mother, is the leader of the group, but her husband Jason and her son, I'm not remembering the son's name, but they are also very much involved. They've gotten a whole new generation involved. And they turned out a very large picket line to the opening of the national celebration this year. Might even have outnumbered the number of people who actually showed up as spectators.
If I can just give a little history about that. Tennessee walking horses are naturally gated horses.
I was going to say, some horses are what you call gated horses. And
right.
A gate is a different way of movement.
Right.
And like gates would be, if you're just don't know that, horses like walk, trot, canter, gallop, those are gates. But
right.
The Tennessee Walker, they have an unusual gait, right?
They pace.
Pacers, very, that's very, what, yeah.
It's a very smooth, very fast walk. And so what the big lickers have done, that's what they're called, is they've accentuated to the point of cruelty. They put on these very heavy, large stacks on their front hooves with chains. And this is how they're trained, so that they lift their front legs up very, very high in a very exaggerated way that is not natural to the Tennessee walking horse, and their back legs are forced to be underneath them while they're doing this. And another thing that the big lickers do, and for the life of most horse people, which I am, and I believe you are too, right, Martha?
Yeah.
Nobody understands why they're doing this, except that they're getting ribbons, money. It's a very big deal, and people that are involved in it have invested a lot of money in trailers and clothing and training the horses. And another thing that's very cruel that they do to accomplish this big lick step is they put caustic chemicals on their legs so that because they're in pain, they're going to lift their legs.
Oh, geez.
They cover it up. We've actually watched a video. Clant Say posted a video of how it's done, and they would put paint and stuff on their legs to hide the scarring.
Wow.
Like a powdery colored dye or paint. So it's just a very, very cruel thing. And the good news is there was no audience. The Big Lick people posted all of their photos and videos. And if you looked in the bleachers, they were empty.
Yeah, and this is a big change because the stadium is built to hold 29,000 people around 20, 25 years ago. And back then it did. It was a packed house. It was the place to be seen.
Who would come and watch these Tennessee walkers pace and be ridden.
Since Clant and Tawny Priestner have been waging their campaign, the public has come to realize that this is really awful stuff. And the crowds have just fallen away really dramatically. People don't really want to be part of this anymore. Now, there has been concern about this at times in the past. Back in 1970, the Horse Protection Act was passed that was supposed to protect the walking horses, but the enforcement mechanism was turned over to the walking horse industry itself, and the enforcement was very, very poor, especially of something called the scarring rule. Now, what the scarring rule is, if a horse shows scars from having been subjected to these cruel training procedures, it's not allowed to be exhibited. And the walking horse people hate this because what they like to do, they will use the cruel methods to get the horse trained through operant conditioning to display the big lick. But then they'll stop that for a week or two before the show actually starts, so they'll pass the inspection at the show. Well, the scarring rule is supposed to prevent that. If the horse shows scars of having been trained that way, the horse is disqualified. And the rules have recently been strengthened. The Trump administration has twice relaxed the rules, but they were strengthened in between. And currently, the scarring rules are before the courts in two different states, North Carolina and Texas, with favorable rulings coming out of the Carolinas, favorable rulings for the horses, and unfortunately, negative rulings coming out of Texas.
Now, this Big Lick celebration is in Tennessee. If you notice, these are Tennessee walking horses. So this was a very big deal. This is their horse, Tennessee's horse, and there they are committing cruelty to these beautiful horses. If you've ever watched a Tennessee walker do its thing where it's naturally shod or no shoes at all, it's absolutely beautiful. And so
I know from my own experience, I mean, pacing horses are incredible to ride. Yes. I had the experience of my cousin's father. Raised racehorses, thoroughbreds, and you know, raced races and around the country, and had big ranches and lots of money and all that kind of stuff. Well, because I was into horses, you know, I was at all of that sort of thing when I was much younger. His big horse facility and all of that was over in Moses Lake, and then he also had cattle. And so I one summer went over to stay with him for a while to ride the roundups because, you know, I'm not well. And of course, I'm a rider and I'm a horse and all of that sort of stuff. But I was not daily riding all the time and in great riding shape. So went over there and then we went up the first day of the roundup. You know, we were in the saddle, I don't know how many hours, but my favorite pants of choice were always Levi jeans, 501s. Okay, and this is, I was probably in my 20s when this took place. And I went back to ride this well, and I had, you know, my Levi's on. When I got off the horse at the end of that day riding, well, A, I could barely walk. But B, I no longer had jeans on because that ride all day had worn out my jeans. You know, the line on the inside of my pants was all worn. So I looked like I was wearing flapping chaps with bare legs. So I hurt so bad. I could hardly move. Well, we had a whole nother day of the roundup to go the next day. Well, I couldn't walk, let alone ride, you know, a quarter horse on the roundup. Well, my cousin's dad, who owned all these horses, all that, well, lots of money. He legally removed the last Peruvian Paso pacing horse from Peru. And when he bought that horse and brought it up here to Washington, Peru changed their laws so you could no longer take champion stock Peruvian Pasos out of the country. So Visteo was the name of this horse, and he was the last legal one out of there. Well, he told me the next morning when I couldn't walk, you know, and my legs are raw and all of that, he said, well, I'll tell you what, we need you on the ride. You can ride Visteo.
The Pacifino.
Uh-huh. And let me tell you, the ride of my life. It was like riding on glass. I mean, and he was telling me about how they compare these horses and get their championships in Peru. Something about they put like a champagne glass of champagne on their back, and then they have to, you know, try around and not spill a drop.
Like a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Yeah. But that was that's one of the certifications that they have to do to be that pacing paso. But I'll tell you what, I got an education about pacing horses, and no matter how sore, I was so sore I couldn't move, I could not have ridden another horse. That pacing paso, I rode the whole roundup, and marvelously so, didn't feel a thing the whole ride. But what a treat that was to ride that horse. But anyway, so I kind of get where these pacing horses are really fun to ride and so smooth and all of that. But, you know, there are so many situations in this country, around the world, where we have gotten into doing things with animals based on our entertainment. And it's kind of like, you know, these Tennessee walkers. And, you know, I know why we wanted to ride them and all that. They're pacing horses, and it's really cool. But then we got into the competition of having them lift their feet and look cool and all of that. And then the training practices have become cruel and abusive and all that sort of thing. And there's just so many ritualistic things like this with especially horses, but with animals around the world. You know, we've got, well, what's the stampede thing with the horses that, you know, the rodeo thing. There's all kinds of stuff going on in rodeos these days with horses, with cows, excuse me, steers, that sort of thing. And I've been observing some people and watching conversations and interviews with rodeo riders and all that kind of stuff. And it seems to me that to get into what they're doing in this sport, and in somehow, some way, their heart closes down because they don't have a heart connection with the animals anymore. So they don't feel the pain and the emotional pain and the abuse that these animals are going through. And it's kind of like I saw one guy rodeo rider was being interviewed, and it was like, oh, and it was one of the most abusive forms of rodeo riding with steer, and very dangerous for the human, but one of the most abusive for the steers. And he was like, oh, okay, it's just another day at the office for me. Another day. It's like, but the animal feelings and all of that mean nothing. Well, we got same thing going on with bullfighting and, you know, all that sort of stuff. There are a lot of traditions we have with animals that we need to be looking at changing. Go ahead, Merritt.
Remember the Disney film Dumbo?
Do you
remember how Dumbo began to fly? The clowns had him jumping off a ladder, and it made everybody laugh. So the clowns decided that if they laughed when it was this high, they'd laugh even more if they made it twice as high. Well, in that case, Dumbo managed to fly, but Dumbo doesn't really, elephants don't really fly. But the thing is, it's that kind of psychology. If you take something the animal naturally does, then you're going to exaggerate it, and people are going to like it even better. Now, Beth had a walking horse, and she was a mounted patrol officer. So she had positive experience with a horse being treated the positive way. You can't break a horse down and expect it to be your mount in police situations. So obviously, she didn't do the stuff the big lake people do, but she had plenty of experience with that horse and training and all the rest of that.
The mentality has to change. And they're also indoctrinating young people into it to keep it alive.
Yep.
So, they have groups of young people doing the same thing on smaller horses.
Well, and these kids are being brought into tradition, you know, all over the place with all kinds of animals and different things, and raising them up that everything's okay. Well, heck, but it also seems to be kind of state of the art for humans right now. We don't want to deal with the truth. And look what's going on, the powers that be. They're trying to rewrite history, and they're saying stuff didn't happen, or it's not this way. You know, slavery was great. Woohoo! Oh, anyway, we're pretty good as humans at manipulating the information, make it what we want it to be, but looking at the truth is not what we're really wanting to do right now. All right, let's take a little break.
Oh, sorry.
Pardon me?
I said you'd mentioned the OMAC stampede, and I wanted to say a few words about that, but let you do.
Let's take care of our advertisers so we get that out of the way. We don't have to, David doesn't have to worry about that. And then we'll come back and you want to talk the stampede, because that's one of my personal things. But there's just so many things that we need to wake up about and being compassionate and empathetic and all of that towards animals is a good thing. It's also a good thing towards humans. And what on earth are we doing to ourselves? All right, so ponder that for a little bit, and let's take care of our advertisers. We return, we'll find out what Merritt has to say about the OMAC stampede. So Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Alternative Talk 1150, here to uplift your day.
I'm Martha Norwalk, and sorry to say that we're on the way down here on this edition of Animal World. But let's see, we heard from Dr. Nels Rasmussen, and the big news for Dr. Nels is, remember, his website is down, down, down. They are feverishly working to get a new one built and up, but it's not up quite yet. So if you need Dr. Nels' services, best thing to do is pick up your phone and call him, and I'm going to give you his phone number, a new one from years ago, so jot this down. Dr. Nels' number is 208-451-6003. 208-451-6003, and the new website should be up any moment, sometime this week for sure, I would think, because they thought it was going to be up the end of last week. But in the meantime, call Dr. Nels at 208-451-6003. If you want to give my number for yourself or anyone you know that has problems with their dogs, I always talk to you for free on the phone, and I solve problems real fast. So give me a call, 360-217-7258, 360-217-7258, and check out the Whispering Dragon Center in Shoreline. Easy access and parking, and Jude can work with you in person in the sound room with the gongs and the Acutonic forks and chimes and all that great stuff, or she can work with you remotely. Whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or give Jude a call at 206-706-2836. Alrighty, that wraps us up with all of that. We are just finishing up with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Write that address down if you want to get on that website, animals24-7.org. Sign up for the newsletter so you're aware of all the stuff going on with animals around the world. And then you'll be up to speed with us here on the air. And you can also donate to the cause. So let's see, Merritt and Beth. I know, Merritt, we did mention the stampede, and you had something you wanted to mention.
That's a good example of where there is a fictitious history, which even today, most of the Colville tribe people involved with it believe. The fiction is that this was a traditional Native American event. It was not. Uh-huh. There was a traditional Native American horse race held in that same area, which was a 21-mile race. It didn't involve any cliff jumps. A good deal of the course was later submerged by construction of a dam, and it faded out. It was not held for some years in the early 20th century. The Omak Stampede was dreamed up by a couple of rodeo promoters to try to hype a rodeo that was economically failing toward the end of the Great Depression.
Uh-huh.
They completely made up this history that it was a traditional Native American event. What actually inspired it was a roundup of wild horses in that area, where some of the settlers, Caucasian guys, by the way, rounded up a lot of horses and drove them over a cliff to their deaths. In the Omak vicinity, the remains of these horses, the bones, were still visible.
Were those wild horses they chased over the cliff?
Those were wild horses.
And that was to get rid of them?
It was just to get rid of them.
Wow.
And somebody decided this was really spectacular and they could do the same thing to hype the rodeo. This is about 20 years later. Boy, to make it even more exciting. It's sort of like making the elephant jump from twice as high.
Right, right.
They'd get
Except
a bunch
they're of promoting it as a tradition, and it wasn't a good tradition. It didn't even involve that clip. That was a killing tradition.
Right, and instead of, because they viewed Native Americans as expendable, it's like making the elephant jump twice as high. They get Native American cowboys to ride these horses over the cliff, and maybe that'll be more exciting than just watching the horses go over the cliff. So the whole origin of the thing was racist and cruel.
Wow.
I don't think anybody mentioned that this is right here in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right here in our backyard, folks.
Yeah, it's in north central Washington, not too far from the Canadian border. One other thing I should mention. At the time the OMAC stampede got started, it was very near the western headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan. It was very strong Ku Klux Klan territory.
Wow.
And some of the first sponsors were apparently involved with the Klan, and this history is remembered in some of the local museums. It's like it's hiding in plain sight. It's there.
Wow.
Want to believe this fiction about the OMAC stampede to continue.
Wow. And some people are probably making money off of it, which keeps it going.
Well, it gets large subsidies from the state of Washington as a tourist attraction.
Yeah, so the greed and selfishness comes in here, too.
And it's promoted in the state legislature by one of the same guys who's behind trying to keep grizzly bears and wolves out. We're not talking about a friend of animals here, talking about quite the opposite.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of learning and growing to do, and as far as I can tell at this point, we're going backwards right now. So time for us all to wake up and pull up our big girl and big girl pants and realize that it isn't all about us as individuals. And hopefully we'll start opening our hearts to these animals and realizing they're intelligent creatures. You know, and most animals think and reason, have feelings and emotions. Yeah, they don't have the same sophisticated left brain intellect that we humans have. They're much simpler and more childlike, but they aren't stupid creatures, okay? And they all have feelings. All of them. Even those wolf spiders. Everybody.
And when we're driving,
yeah,
we break for slugs.
Oh, yay. Okay, so you like I'm watering my slugs. I got a big crew in the back and a big crew out front. And it's quite remarkable that they absolutely got the message this year to stay off my flowers, my flower baskets, and then they can eat anything else they want.
Well, you can put out cat food for them and they'll go. They'll find it.
Did I tell you that I'm personally responsible for populating the state with banana slugs from California? Our family went down to my grandparents. My mom's parents lived in Berkeley, California, and my mom and my brother and I drove down there when we were kids, probably, I don't know, young, I don't know, if grade school or young junior high. But I would spend my time out in my grandma's fuchsia garden, which is why I love fuchsias now and all of that. And anyway, they had these great big, huge banana slugs. You know, I mean, some of them were a foot long. Anyway, I befriended this family of banana slugs when we were down there visiting my grandma. And I'd go out every day and play with my slugs in the yard. Well, then when it came to coming home, and I've told lots of Martha won't come home without it stories, this was one of those stories where my mom knew I was not going home unless I could take my slugs. So she fixed up a nice little slug habitat and a shoebox and stuff, and home I came with a box full of banana slugs. And then, of course, they got released in Laurelhurst. So... anyway, sorry, everybody, but Martha brought banana slugs from California.
People underestimate. They are very intelligent. I'm sorry. They are.
Yeah, they are. And sometime I'll tell you my 100 garter snakes story.
That's a slug census here on Whidbey Island. Some guy claimed that there were 200,000 slugs per square mile on Whidbey Island. I thought he was talking dookie, and I had to go test that out for myself. So I did line transects in a number of different habitats and did the math and came up with roughly 200,000 slugs per square mile of Whidbey Island.
Wow. Wow. And you actually went out and researched that. Well, see,
that's my merit.
That's why I like to see who else would know how many slugs and all of that good stuff. But anyway, so gosh, it's been so much fun having you here. And even though the subjects aren't always pleasant, it's important that the truth come to light and that we don't fool around and try to make stuff up to suit our purposes. The facts are the facts. Important to know that. And I think hopefully all the powers that be that love the animals in India and support all the causes, everybody will get all their eggs in the same basket. So we're all supporting the same thing. And not only do we really want to help with the ABC program, the animal birth control, but we also want to educate the folks over there about where and how to feed properly. So we're not building more aggression with these dogs. Multiple feeding stations. I agree with you guys. Anyway, thanks so much for being here. I hope you guys stay cool over there and say hi to Henry and Arabella. And I've seen Teddy poking his head around. And have a good afternoon. And we will talk to you again on your regular Sunday. That'll be the first Sunday of September, September 7th, and 11 o'clock hour. It'll be time for more animals24-7.org. So in the meantime, thank you all for all your good work. And we'll see you again the first Sunday of September.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. All righty, David. So we've wrapped up another one. And thank you for all your good help there. And let's see. Next week, let's see. It's the last Sunday of the month. So that means it's an encore Sunday. I will not be here. I get to go to church. And we will rerun our last healing show with Dr. Nels and Linda Rasmussen. And you know, if you listen along and just follow Linda's instructions that she's doing with the collar, you'll get a surrogate healing. So that's very cool. So listen next week for surrogate healings. And then September 7th, Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And we'll have Merritt and Beth will be back at 11 o'clock on that day. And important that, remember, Mariners, 110 first pitch. We got to cheer so that Bigfoot is not disappointed. We got to have to help the Mariners win. So, David, thank you so much. When am I going to see you again? Do you know? 3 weeks? Okay, so you have a good 3 weeks. See you again then. Otherwise, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. Please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.